Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good.
That is
good. Still at home, but I'll be working my way in next week.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. We're looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, that'll be good to see you guys, your new haircuts.
Yeah, all about level one haircuts and,
yeah, that's right.
You know, our, I don't know, positive attitudes. I'm not sure what's changed really over lockdown at all. I have had a haircut though, so that's something. We're talking about funk this morning, Kirsten, which I'm very excited to hear.
I know, right? One of the greatest, I think, you know, let's be honest, I'm biased. It's so good. So we're talking, I mean, the heyday was the 1970s. Officially, it started in the late 60s. And so it's got this big crossover with soul, as well as a big crossover with James Brown. So he's sort of this nexus between both of them, because he's the godfather of soul and the godfather of funk. So
right.
He started changing up, you know, soul had like a sweeter sound, a real pop sound, really grounded in gospel with the sort of thick choir type vocals and that sort of thing, whereas funk, there was more emphasis on the rhythm and the bass, and it got super complex, so a lot more sort of jazz influence. And even though soul was political, funk was even more political. So it sounds like a dance music, and it is, but it's actually really political as well, which is interesting to talk about right now.
Yeah.
But that through this music, they were sharing all sorts of info about their communities and what's happening and their feelings about stuff. But it was a positive.
Yeah.
So even though it was like a really disastrous time politically and protest-wise, the music came through really positive.
So what sort of era specifically are we talking about here? When did funk kind of emerge?
Well, this first song we've got is 69. So it's sort of, you know, most people, you know, talk about funk in the 70s, but officially, you know,
late 60s,
life doesn't work.
Kind of.
Your life doesn't work on the, you know, just on the tens.
Well, I'm gonna hit this first track.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you can hear right there, it's called Chicken Scratch Guitar.
Okay.
The Chucka Chuck.
It's your thing. Do what you wanna do.
So who are we listening to, Kirsten?
Okay, so this is the Isley Brothers, and we can hear a big full band. This is 1969. So they're from Ohio, you know, which most people wouldn't think of. You know,
it's like the funkiest capital of the world. No,
that's right.
No shade to Ohio, of course.
So because it's 69, you can still hear soul as far as the sort of sweetness
and
thickness. But it's definitely funky because you can hear that bass. So here's the thing about funk is the bass is the hook. You know, as opposed to like melodic instruments and the you know, the singer, it's the bass that becomes the hook. That the bass line is just as famous as any other bit.
Totally, yeah, that's so true. I hadn't actually ever really thought about that before, but the vocals in funk music are really important. But that bass line is what really drives it along, eh?
Well, yeah, and the vocals, I guess, to outsiders can seem sort of repetitive, but it's because they're acting like a rhythm instrument as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing sort of with choppy rhythms in and out of what the drums are doing and the guitar is doing. And so it's this whole package of rhythm. And so the vocals are even sort of, you know, less interest in a really interesting melodic line.
Yeah.
But they're playing with the music.
That's not a bad vocal break, it's got to be said.
And well, those owls and stuff are all from church, you know, so it's bringing that intensity of singing about God into sort of now singing about sort of power and positivity. Now, BPM-wise, it's actually slow, right?
Yeah,
it's a little slower than some of the dance music. And for all you music nerds out there, it's got really thick... 9th and 7th chords.
Nice.
For those of you who that means something, I don't want to bore everyone.
No, now, it's great. Also, text us, listeners, 5395. Funk.
And now, the other thing to listen to in funk, this was invented by James Brown, is the emphasis on the one.
Yeah.
So everything's going all crazy all the time, and then boom, it hits on the one, and everyone's drifting around, but
and
it's
so
going to come back.
For like comparison's sake, what would we be like used to hearing maybe before funk? What does it normally hit, the two, or where does that come in?
Well, for black music, it's the 2 and 4, and for white music, it's sometimes the 1 and the 3, or with heavy metal, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4.
It It's everything.
So, you know, I wanted to play everything today, Sly and the Family Stone, Parliament Funkadelic.
That's how we felt yesterday when we were talking about
trying
it,
to pick some tracks.
Trying to pick it so hard.
They're all great.
They're so good.
Yeah, we should do a 2-hour funk special.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're listening to Curtis Mayfield right now, though, with Superfly.
Go
ahead. Well, this is 1972, and it's actually a soundtrack to what's called a blaxploitation film.
Mm.
And so it's no mistake that both these sort of black movements came around the same time. The films, which sort of, you know, having African-American-centric films and starring a film, and then the music, and then, of course, here it's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, you know, so the music was just as popular. In fact, this outsold the film.
Oh, wow, okay. And I guess, yeah, it's got a longer legacy maybe than the movie.
And so he did really political music, Curtis. Like, yeah. I know this just sounds fun and funky. But he actually wrote the song People Get Ready in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And he took, so the blaxploitation films, they're called blaxploitation because they're kind of exploiting the black community. You know, everyone's like pimps and drug dealers and criminals, you know. There's a bit of a mixed reaction. Is it positive because it was black representation and black stories? Or was it sort of exacerbating stereotypes?
Yeah.
But Curtis always made sure in the music he was like telling the truth.
Yeah.
So it's got this sort of parallel thing going on.
Totally.
And blaxploitation, you know, has still really influenced, you know, all the, you know, Spike Lee and John Singleton, all the later black directors, and even like Quentin Tarantino. Hip hop loves blaxploitation movies. I think Dolomite Is My Name is on Netflix at the moment.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
So it's a weird genre in that it's sort of complex.
Someone said, Let the Drums Speak by Fatback Band has the most sublime hook.
Okay.
And someone said Prince and funk.
Yeah, he's interesting, eh? Because, you know, he's got such a sort of a rock feel sometimes, but you know, he doesn't have this happy joy orchestration of funk, but it's still there in his.
The funk is in there. Yeah.
It's definitely a genre that I feel like you could listen to for hours and you wouldn't be like, oh, I need to switch this up.
Yeah. I think I'm just thinking of Curtis Mayfield as well. He's a funk artist whose voice is really central, though. He tells stories. It's not just hooks.
Yeah, you're right.
It is like
he
real
is a big storyteller. And, you know, Stevie Wonder did that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Marvin Gaye. No, you're right. So not to sort of totally take away from it. And also, I got to say, the clothes. Damn.
Yeah.
Curtis with his three-piece, like, mustard suit.
So good.
And paisley tie. Woo!
Very, very glamorous.
And the platform shoes. And then, of course, Parliament Funkadelic got super weird, you know, with feathers and diapers.
Yeah. Well, so
and robots.
This person's seen in quite a good text. They said, like, Funkadelic was obviously using the word funk in their name in, like, 1968. So when did the word funk kind of appear?
So, apparently it's an old word, I think French word for smoke, but in the black community it meant smelly. But you can use that word twisted, you know, like put some stank on it. Stanky. And so that's how somehow it became to be called funk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. They put it right in the
title.
And it'll be in a lot of, you know, song titles as well. Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, you can hear that guitar. The wah-wah. You ain't got so you might be doing stank face. Why do you listen to this? That's the face you make when something's so good, you make a weird face.
I think Rachel was literally just doing that as you send that text.
The beauty of radio is no one has to see it, though, so it's fine. Someone says, loving the funk. Have you read the CNN profile on James Brown's death? I actually haven't read it, but I have seen a lot about it as well. It was quite a big deal when it came out.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it was called The Circus Singer and the Godfather of Soul. This is the funky drummer, one of the most sampled drum breaks of all time. and the Amen Break being the most sampled drum break of all time from this text here. Two very important bits of funk history.
Yeah, that have now lived on in hip-hop and dance music.
But also not even that. I think the funky drummer has been used by people like Ed Sheeran and stuff. Like, everybody's taken that sample.
Oh gosh, I did not know that.
No, I had a deep Google once to see who's used it, and it's some of the least likely songs have it in there.
Oh yeah, whosampled.com? Well, but yeah, that's...
Yeah. So, of course,
this is Chaka Khan and Rufus?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a very unmistakable voice.
So you can hear they're using a lot more electronic instruments here, vocoder, the clav. And so funk was able to sort of make that shift into sort of electronic instruments without sort of losing anything or sounding robotic.
When is this song from, Kirsten?
74,
okay.
So the band is Rufus, and Chaka Khan was a member of the band, but, you know, her son just kept rising.
Yeah. So, when did Chaka kind of, like, arrive on the scene?
Well, she'd been performing with Rufus for a while and won some Grammys and stuff, and then went solo, I think, in, like, 76.
Yeah.
And then she did I Feel For You in 84, where she sort of mixed it with hip-hop. So she's won so many awards, either with Rufus or as herself, as a solo artist as well.
Yeah.
I know, 78, her self-titled album, I'm Every Woman. Okay, people know that song too.
This is such a good song.
The syncopation's really good.
Yeah, you can hear it just popping in just before the beat.
So, I mean, I guess funk's never really gone away, but, like, at what point did funk become something else? Or, like, when did funk sort of become not the thing that was played in every club or every black club, I guess?
Disco kind of killed it a bit. It did become untenable, you know, really big bands.
Yeah.
It was a bit too political for, you know, even black radio found that if they played disco, this is in the mid to late 70s, you know, they'd get more listeners. Whereas if they played funk, they'd only get black listeners.
Right.
So it wasn't really popular and white. I mean, it was. They had a lot of hits, but it didn't get the take up that disco did. So even black radio sort of abandoned it. You know, because it just didn't bring in the bucks. But like you said, it never really died, did it?
No. Oh, we've just had a text that said, yes, now Friday started. Chaka is the business. Thank you. Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Tell me something good. Okay, now, I wouldn't know this, but apparently... this kind of music, especially the guitar sound, is popular in old porn.
What?
You know that guitar? The waka waka. Yeah. No, I wouldn't know. Tess, you'd know.
What? Why would I know?
Kirsten.
Yeah. I have one musicologist who'd always call it the porn guitar.
The porn guitar. Womp, womp, bong.
Yeah.
Kirsten, that was fantastic. Thank you. We're just having lots of fantastic texts about funk music that people love coming in. Someone says Betty Davis, Miles' ex, was the skankiest funkster. So there we go. Also, lots of love coming in for Bootsy Collins, George Clinton, Parliament, and Funkadelic. These are all names that are like, you know, legends now as well.
And is it interesting how it can be sexy, like Chaka Khan was super sexy and Betty Davis. It's sexy and dancey and political and musically complex, like all at the same time. Like,
yeah.
You know,
totally,
most genres have one or the other. And we've seen it can be so many things at once.
Absolutely. And think about how much it's sampled as well now. Like, funk music is everywhere in, like, contemporary pop music, hip-hop, all sorts of things. It's never gone away as a genre in itself, but also that original funk is still so used in people's tracks now too.
Yeah, it's so awesome to see that so many listeners are still really into it. You know, it's 2020. It's fantastic.
Hard out. Hey, Kirsten, thank you so much. What are you going to be bringing us next week?
Oh my, the opposite. We're going to go new metal with an N-U.
Ooh, nu metal. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Kirsten. We'll look forward to that and look forward to seeing you in person soon as well.
Yep.
Cool. See ya.
Okay.
Bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It certainly